This is Wanda.
Vision.
All right, and we are talking about WandaVision here on Post Show Recaps. Everything is wonderful, and thank you to the great Jason Curtis Rivera for the greatest theme song of all time that is causing both of my co-hosts here on the WandaVision podcast to swallow laughter, try not to explode into the microphone here. Kevin Mahadeo shaking his head. LaTanya Stark's hiding from the computer. Welcome to the podcast, my friends. Round one of WandaVision, it's happening!
It is happening. We're here. We're there. Where are we? Big question. Where are we?
When are we?
Hey, LaTanya, where are we?
It's man.
What are we?
I have not been as confused and as excited about a show since Lost season one, which relax, Josh. But like, it is that weird feeling, right? Like, of just like, to me, like really awesome TV right now, but also like, I don't know what's going on. I do hope this ends better than Lost, but we'll see. But
now I'm not relaxed.
Yeah, now you're not okay.
Yes.
But
yes,
yeah, it's just, this is gonna be a weird show to talk about, to say the least.
Yo, I don't even know. I don't even know what we're gonna, all right. So we're talking about the first two episodes of WandaVision. They have arrived. If you missed our preview podcast here and everything is super, I mean, you could go back and listen to it. We basically know as much now as we did then, I feel like, which is to say not much. Like, this is a show that is shrouded in secrecy, and two episodes deep, we are still underneath that shroud. This is a show that is very intentionally keeping us away from the truth, from like the heart of the reality behind this thing. That's really intriguing and exciting. LaTanya, you and I were texting, and I think that I had said to you that, like, my predominant feeling, more than, like, I loved it, or I even, like, I really liked it, my predominant feeling is, like, I'm very intrigued right now. I don't know that I know enough to say whether I love it or like it yet, but I'm so intrigued. I'm really in.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I was very effervescent about my postings on the social meds.
Yeah,
we need,
love,
we
those
need
social meds. Yes,
the social meds. We definitely need to abbreviate that. And so, I stand by all of that. It's just a really beautifully shot show. In addition to having some great special effects, and so it's kind of dazzling in that way. But in the other way, I just want to know what is going on. Like, you know, we joked at the top: where are we? When are we? Why are we? What are we? And the sitcom-y nature of these first two episodes, and, you know, what will continue to occur in tropes of sitcoms for decades to come, very much have us wondering what's going on, who's causing it to happen, why it's being caused to happen, or if this is something that Wanda is doing on her very own. So, yeah, just very intrigued. Want to know who the bad people are, and who the people somewhere in between are. And also just loving the idea that for each episode, it seems like in addition to the cool theme songs that we get for WandaVision, we're going to get actual song cues that tell us what decade we're in. So the first one we get being Yakety Yak, which came out in the 1950s, the exact date, kind of in dispute. But somewhere around 1953 to 1958, and it was by the Coasters. So we get that in the very first episode, which is more of an homage to Dick Van Dyke, the I Love Lucy's of it all. And then in the second episode, which I'm sure we'll talk about a lot more in depth later, we get Help Me Rhonda, which
Help Me Wanda, though.
Yeah. But Help Me Wanda, exactly. Which is a song that by the Beach Boys that came out in 1965. So we're firmly in the 60s, even reflecting in Wanda's wardrobe by then.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, to me, that just looking at the sitcoms that they were aping, sort of like, you could see that. And I think that sets a precedent that I'm kind of really excited about. Because, like, the first episode was very much the 50s. It's very much Dick Van Dyke. I think it's like... And that's the thing that impresses me the most and what makes me really excited for the show. I do want the answers and I am curious about that. But it's the same way that I responded so well to Community, right? Like, I loved Community when they did the genre episodes because their abilities to mimic the style, tone, and beats of those genre stuff, like the mafia film or like the paintball episode, or you know, like the famous episodes like that. They did that here, and how impressed I was at them to be able to pull off doing a Dick Van Dyke reference to an entire episode in terms of the style of humor, the mannerisms of the characters, to the special effects, that on string movement almost with the plates at the beginning, to Bewitched, which is a different era, a different style. And again, everyone like changed. There's stuff I'd love to call out in a little bit about like how they showed the shift. But that set a precedent to me where it's just like, we're doing 50s was Dick Van Dyke, the 60s is Bewitched. And I feel like this sets up, based on like what was said previously, that each decade now, I'm excited because we're leading up. Like, this matches out perfectly if this works out, because the next episode will be 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, and the 2010s, leaving the last episode to be modern day, to be now. So yeah. The last episode could just be not the sitcom stuff. They still have, looks like they're pacing it out in such a way that we're still going to get like an ending that can now enter the regular world, can still give us the culmination of the story, but it's just now as opposed to these sitcom references of the past.
I think it works out that we would be with two episodes at the end that would be devoid of any decade other than now, potentially.
Is it eight or nine?
I believe it's nine. Pretty sure.
Okay. But if it's nine, yeah, we get two.
So that makes sense, because even within these episodes, you know, there are at least like slices of episode, LaTanya, that are like showing us outside of the scope of this world that either Wanda and Vision have been trapped inside of by someone else, or it's a trap of Wanda's own. No matter what, it does seem like, even if Vision is some sort of manifestation of Wanda's, which is possible, that he has some element of agency in here, right? Because we're getting Vision storylines. We're getting to see Vision at work. We're getting to see Vision hanging out and socializing with people and gumming up his insides and like, you know, screwing things up that way that like, I think like the actualization of Vision is definitely happening. The question is like, what is the permanence level of that? There's so much in here that is so intriguing to me, from the very first lines of like, you and your flying saucers and you and your indestructible head, which we know is not indestructible, because we have seen that head get destroyed.
We saw her destruct it.
Yeah. She destructed that, you know, and but we haven't really seen her in a flying saucer context, so it does make you wonder, like, I think like the indestructible headline is like so the indestructible headline is good, that it's such a clear call out to what happened to Vision that I think you have to take the flying saucer stuff just as literally. I know that there are references to Sword. We talked about that.
I was just
going to
say Sword, yeah, makes that connection, I think.
And you see the beekeeper in episode two, which I know there's a lot of question about. Is that AIM? Is that what does it stand for? Advanced
Idea Mechanics?
Yes. And they're like, you know, potentially like a new Hydra type. You know, there's a lot of history with them.
Or
in the
he's
comics.
Just a dude trying to keep his bees.
He may also just be a guy trying to keep his bees. Not the bees!
In the sewer. I get that.
Latanya,
you never
encountered
ecosystem.
You've never seen a sewer beer, sewer bee, sewer bees? Sewer beers are different. Those are gross. Yeah. Sewer beers are nasty.
I don't think I've ever seen a sewer bee. Is this supposed to be a thing that people know about?
No.
All I know is that I would be terrified, and I would also say no if I saw that
The beekeeper costume is very evocative of certainly a couple of things, like filmically. And I think that this to me was the biggest one. That's like why people are saying like this show's got Twin Peaks vibes. Like, yeah, this feels like something that you would have seen in a David Lynch movie, is the beekeeper crawling out of a manhole and then walking away. It was like, oh, well, that is some Killer Bob shit. Like, I'm not cool with that. That's terrifying. Like, that is definitely there. But the beekeeper suit is evocative of the AIM costume from the comics. But there's also a Sword logo on the suit. So some people are wondering, like, is this S.W.O.R.D.? Is this AIM? There's the commercial breaks that are happening in between, where the first one is a Stark Industries reference, and then the second one is Strucker. Baron von Strucker was the guy who gave Wanda and Pietro their powers in Age of Ultron. He's dead. As far as we know, but he's also in the comics linked to AIM. So I think we're with like a lot of questions of like, is she under duress? Like, obviously she's in duress. Has she been trapped? Is she captured right now? Is she doing this? Has she held, are these real people that she is holding hostage? I think the full extent of this is really unknown. So I love the format stuff. I think the structure stuff is really, really cool. But for my money, like, I am just so intrigued by like, what the hell are you guys doing with this story? And I'm so curious to find out.
And there's definitely a lot that you've called out. I mean, there's theories just you can, from watching these two episodes, that from pulling from the comics, you can just run wild with. Like, there's a S.W.O.R.D. references too. There's the fact that, like, yes, the commercial breaks are really interesting, but you mentioned the fact, like, one of them is Stark Industries, one of them is Von Strucker. Both those characters are very dead, as is Vision. So what does that mean? You know, like, the fact that these commercials are featuring dead characters, are the next commercials going to do the same? There's the idea too of what you pointed out, like how Wanda's acting is very, very, very reminiscent of the Avengers Disassembled and House of M storylines. You have a character who is acting completely normal in a world that is extremely different from the one that we know, but clearly knows more than they know, because you have those moments of the know. You have these moments of like her noticing things and changing slight things. So that's all very House of Emmy. And I think between the literal rewinding of time that we saw, and between the suddenly pregnant thing that we saw, I mean, there's a lot of ways that this can go, but it looks like they're heading into like comic book level Wanda power territory, which is scary. I mean, we talk about like, is it AIM? Is it S.W.O.R.D.? Maybe it's both. Maybe in this world, they're like divisions, one and the same, and they will break apart or something. You know, you have S.W.O.R.D. and AIM could be a division within that, their research division. So there's a lot of ways this could go and play with, and they're clearly piecing it out very slowly to us. But like, I love it. I love that fact that we're not going to get the answers immediately here. I just, obviously, in the back of my mind, the same way when I was watching Watchmen, I suppose, like, just, I hope you pull this off. Come on, stick the landing.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to, like, stamp that down in my current mental state of the world. I need to not focus on my old self and try to be, like, a more, like, I'm excited. Let's see where it goes, you know?
To Kevin's point, the bookends of the television show really start to introduce us into the warping, time warping, kind of reality warping sense, at the same time that all of us are attempting to, you know, escape our own realities by watching this television show. This show is very much about making your own reality when the one that's in front of you is not great.
Yeah.
And warping it for others as well. The beginning of the episode where you do like the Marvel logo and everything, and I think before the theme song, that warps into kind of an old timey television. You get some static there. You get a little feedback in your headphones. And then you transition out at the end of each episode with someone taking notes about all of this, because someone is watching this and we don't know. We just see an old timey television surrounded by a bunch of way more modern technology. And then we see someone, you know, turning it off for the night and jotting down some notes. So it'll be interesting to see who that person is or who those people are. Are they part of S.W.O.R.D.? You know, we talked about the logo being out there, and I hadn't, because I, like I said, I don't read the comics. So I hadn't heard of the possibility of anything other than S.W.O.R.D. and S.H.I.E.L.D., like any other organization. So that's really cool that there's another one.
Yeah.
But even on like the little red plane in the second episode that she picks up from her garden, there's a S.W.O.R.D. logo on it. So we're wondering if like these people are getting sucked into Wanda and Vision's reality, or if they've brought people in with them, or if, you know, someone, some nefarious force is working their powers and their magic to counteract Wanda's and to keep her more supplicant for their whatever evil deals.
For that that plane, that toy plane, that is our first real color pop in the black and white of it all. That's Geraldine, right? And I'm putting Geraldine in hard quotes because obviously it's Monica Rambeau, right? Like, this is how she like showed up into town. Like, am I out on a cliff here?
I didn't even think about that, but that's a very interesting point. I think it was a helicopter also.
Yeah, it was a helicopter, right?
Yeah.
I said,
get to the chopper! Come on, Wanda, let's go!
Side note on that. Sorry, I just have to point this out because I was listening to another podcast, which is crazy to think I listen to other podcasts. What? Not just our own.
Yeah, I can't believe you listen to other podcasts. You don't even listen to ours.
I know, it's wild, right? I don't even listen to our own shows. I listen to other ones. Yeah. But they were talking about an Arnold film recently, and they were talking about how we put on this like giant Arnold accent, and like it just makes anything like, oh yeah, that's so funny the way he says it. But like, we never stop to think about the fact that like he just sounds like he just has an Austrian accent.
Yeah,
he's just an immigrant. We're literally just making fun of an immigrant whenever we do that, which is kind of wild.
I think it's a celebration of Arnold.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I'm with it. Who doesn't love Arnold? But also, like, there are some people who don't like Arnold.
Yeah, that's fair.
There's like a few specific people. Homage. Like, if you got a problem with Arnold, you are well within your rights. Some things that he did were not great. I think quote unquote Geraldine definitely like hopped into whatever this like hot zone is, and like. Wanda sees a helicopter and is like, oh, well, that's not going to fit here, and turns it into a toy. Like, that would be how I would imagine that playing out.
That makes a lot of sense. That makes so much sense of how she just showed up in the second episode.
I did think of that, won't lie. Was just happy to see Geraldine, if that is her real name, it's not. The version of Monica Rambeau, played by Tiana Paris, who... So the one thing that I think we should discuss, among other things that I also think we should discuss, but one thing we should probably talk about now is how spot on the dialogue is in terms of helping us attempt to figure out the plot of what's going to happen overall and ultimately.
Yeah, lay this out for us. This is very useful.
Yeah, so this is a lot of things that happen in this show. They're using some very tropey, like old-timey TV sitcom language, or even like playing things for laughs that are actual real existential crisis moments, or moments that things are starting to get a little bit too real for Wanda, perhaps. So when Wanda goes to Dottie's house, and Dottie is the worst, for that little like meeting of the party planning committee to plan parties, we get this kind of, you know, questioning of, which has been there for Wanda and Vision the whole time. Like, when'd you get married? How'd you meet? Like all of those things. And then when asked her name, she doesn't really know what her name is. It says, I'm Geraldine. Sure. Geraldine. So we're really starting to see like some of those pieces of dialogue. And then a lot of the things that Catherine Hahn's character says, who, by the way, is one of the most hilarious people like ever. She's great in this show.
Agnes,
but says some really like ominous things that would sound like sitcom-y. So she says things like, it'll be a gas. Or
people, which means people are getting gassed or are already like, have either already been gassed or will be getting gassed.
Or says to Wanda, you're charmed, you know,
right?
Things like that. And a lot of those are just a couple examples, but a lot of those are the types of things that happen throughout the episode that give us a little bit of insight into who the characters are and beginnings of what's going on. But I can also see how those things for people who aren't in love with classic sitcoms or aren't getting behind the zany nature of this could just be like, this is the most trite, like on the nose dialogue that anyone could come up with. What's happening?
Right. I think it is helpful. And I think it is all very much by design, like winky, 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 nudge, nudge, like, you know, sort of like meant to sort of like cutely guide you towards the danger and through the danger. Because I do think that we are headed somewhere very dangerous. I mean, we're already obviously very in it, but like we're watching this stuff right now at a moment in a way where like something is going to happen where we will not be able to revisit this material and look at it quite the same anymore. Like that magic trick is on its way. And like there's been a piece of me that's wondered, like, is this better? Would this one be better as a binge? Like how is this spinning alongside like the weekly? There's a piece of me that feels like I wish that like we could just like really sink our teeth into the full deal. But then there's the other part that's like, let's savor this moment of mystery now, because we are, to use some Marvel parlance, we are journeying into mystery. We will never be able to like come back out of it. Like we're not going to be able to reapproach WandaVision the same. And probably like, you know, as soon as maybe next week, if not, you know, like 5 weeks from now.
Well, Josh, you should forget your past. This is your future now.
Yes.
As said in that, which I noted very much yeah. so, because the potential of that statement alone is just like, what? Which could lead terrifying. To like, and yeah, it's terrifying. And this is the thing, right? Like, this could lead to some reality breaking stuff. Like the idea of also forget your past. This is your future. Is so wild to think that you're dealing with a character who can literally warp reality, change it to however they want. And there's two levels to that. One, we could legit end up in a world, because in the original comics, the entire, like this entire thing could be leading to all of a sudden when we pan at the end, we find out for all of our theories, this is Nick Fury. These are some of the Avengers. And all of a sudden the X-Men are there because the world has been warped enough. And just be like, what do we do about this person? And it's just like, well, forget about how this happened. This is the future. The world has been warped. I don't think they'll go that far. But the other thing about this that I think is really interesting, that I think solidifies what we're watching. We're all talking about, like, is it AIM? Is it SWORD? I mean, I think very much Wanda Maximoff herself is the villain in this story, so to speak. But not necessarily villainous. I guess the antagonist. Someone who I don't think understands and can control their powers in a way that is... in a frightening manner. And the quintessential moment for that, I think, is the end of the first episode, where for all the laughs and everything, we get thrown into what is a horror scenario.
Right.
Where Mr. Hart starts choking and Mrs. Hart turns to Wanda and is like laughing and smiling, but saying, stop right. it over and over again. Because at the end of the day, that's the note. This is Wanda doing this. Wanda just caused that man to start choking and almost die because he was asking too many questions about the past to almost break her out of this fictional world that she has created. And when you're dealing with someone like that, when you're dealing with someone who can literally warp reality to their whim, they're scary. You have to be very, very, very careful how you approach someone like that, how you talk to someone like that. Because when they can just snap their fingers and change stuff around them, that's dangerous, and that's very horrifying to think about. And yeah. I think that's where we're headed with this. Like, Wanda is clearly, I think, more aware than we are possibly giving her credit for, and the people trying to fix it is worried about how to deal with that.
Yeah.
How do you talk to someone who could literally say no, and all of a sudden the conversation you thought you were going to have, the moment you thought you were going to have, is literally wiped from existence.
That's really interesting. Yeah. What is the voice saying to Wanda over the radio?
Who's doing this to you, Wanda?
Yeah.
Who's doing this to you? Who's doing this? So, I mean, like, that seems to suggest that Wanda, unless it's, you know, because it sounded to me like that was Randall Park. Jimmy Woo, the FBI agent.
I didn't catch the voice at all. It sounded familiar, but I couldn't pinpoint it.
It sounded to me like Randall Park. So it is what you know. Now I'm having like a moment where like I was confused by it, and I'm obviously still confused by it, but like a possibility was birthed in this moment. So who's doing this to you? Like, suggests that like she's under duress, that like she's been captured, but
it
could also be like the disbelief of like, you're a hero, who's doing this to you? But it's like, no, she's doing this.
Well, that's the thing, like, look, this is a weird thing to point out, but you go to therapy and a big question is, who is doing this? to an extent, there's a lot of you.
Yes.
And so I think the question necessarily doesn't have to be like, who is doing this, you know, externally? And the answer is like, who's doing this? And the answer is like, she is.
Yeah. Oh
yeah. Also, scary. Again, an Agnesism mentions that something can be done in a snap. There are some theories out there about how the snap may have awakened some properties in Wanda. Maybe some X-Men quality properties and mutant abilities. That's a far off kind of theory we can keep in mind. Getting back to that sequence where the boss is visiting, and we get one of our first like sitcom appearances from Deborah Jo Rupp as Mrs. Hart,
aka Kitty Foreman from that yes. 70s show, and yes. guest yeah. appearances in a ton of other ones.
Yes, yes.
And when Wanda is causing Mr. Hart to straight up choke to death, it takes a minute after the very eerie, like, pleas from Mrs. Hart to help him as she's getting more and more frantic. And Wanda just kind of sits there and then, like, quietly says, "Vision, help him." And it's very scary. Like, it's ominous. And you get the idea that she's completely lost touch with reality, or what used to be her reality. But in addition to that, that she's also a little bit maybe like under mental duress herself, because this right. is an issue she's causing, but she can't bring herself to stop doing it. And so she has Vision there to help him. If Vision wasn't there to help temper that more dangerous side of her, what happens?
Yeah.
I mean, but this becomes
how is he there? You know, that's a very important question.
Is he the conscience, right? Like, when you deal with someone with powers like this, and like that's Latanya, you call that reality. If you are a person who can literally shape reality, what does reality mean to you? Nothing. Like, reality is literally what you make of it. So it becomes like the reason why in the comics people like this go bad so often is because like there is you lose touch of what your humanity is, because the world is meaningless to you. Like, you can just shape it as you want. And if you have that ability, like, the connections to it start to fade, start to go away. So there's a lot here that I think works toward a possibility that is like Wanda as an antagonist, Wanda is responsible, and like everyone else trying, you know, their dangest to like stop this from happening, to figure out like, and to them, they might not know how she's doing this, right? Like, that's the other part. Like, their only encounters with this have been through Thanos, through the stone. You have someone imbued with the powers of basically the reality stone. So now they're just trying to figure that out. And like, how do we deal with this?
Right.
And the comics, unfortunately, the debate became, do we kill her or not?
Right.
And that led to a whole slew of other problems. But like, yeah, this is the stuff that like, I think is really fascinating about the show and gets me really excited about the show, which is wholly separate from the just like, oh my God, it's Dick Van Dyke. They're doing The Boss Comes to Dinner. That's just a trope for 50s and 60s sitcoms. And
right.
to an extent, modern day. The Boss is Coming to Dinner is so spot on to
and
like
he consulted what that style on the first is. Episode, by the way, like to get the props and like all the visuals right. He was a consultant. So it's totally Dick Van Dyke.
Oh, that's amazing. I didn't realize that.
And he did
that.
The mannerisms. Like, the sitting and the finger thing is a very Dick Van Dyke thing.
And saving the day with, like, a song or making yourself look like an idiot very Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah.
And that's the part that, like, gets me really pumped, too. Like, for this episode specifically, like, those are great call-outs, right? Lasagna, where it's just, like, the singing yak-de-yak is very much a thing. The boss coming to dinner is... And that the farcical nature of it all, where it's just misunderstanding, where they each thinks it's one thing, but they don't communicate, so they don't know what it is. And the like that is like quintessential farce. That's stuff that like we see even existing in Frasier. You know, like which I was gonna say, like in modern day, it ain't. It's like two decades old. But yeah. like
don't worry
like
about Frasier that. Don't go era, on
right?
That.
Yeah. Like yeah, 40 years after this, they're still doing it in sitcoms.
Yeah. You had just to put it back into some of like the questions about the story and stuff. When you talked about Vision as the conscience, it did make me think that like maybe it really like Vision isn't Vision at all, and it is Wanda. Like, all of it's Wanda. Maybe Vision isn't suddenly miraculously alive. Maybe this is, like, he is serving as sort of, like, the expression, the avatar of the piece of her that knows, like, this is no good. None of this is good. So it may all be Wanda is a strong possibility, just as we're, like, trying to track, like, how with Vision, right? Like, we're trying to track the how of all of this, but Vision is a really important piece because we saw this man die twice. So like how, maybe he isn't alive. Maybe he is, a part of Wanda that's having like another way of like expressing and exploring this world that she's creating for herself. And she is like throwing herself into like this, this thing that she like completely loved. And maybe that is going to be, whether it's something that saves her, I don't know. You know,
well, you also kind of called it out yourself way back when, Josh, when we were doing From Age of Ultron and then Civil War. You've kind of pointed out that Vision is the moral compass of this team, right? Like, Vision is the one because of his, like, ability to rational and, like, look at things logically, while still having, like, a, you know, bit of humanity to him, is the moral compass of the Avengers. If that's the case, that's, like, the conscious. So you have now him existing possibly in that role for Wanda herself.
Right, right. So I think that that's really fascinating. Agnes.
For sure. Agnes.
As she's called.
I want to call out the great Torbjörn Fraser. Torby had this to throw my way. This quote from Agnes in WandaVision episode 1. She says, "The only way Ralph," who's her husband, she says, "the only way Ralph would remember our anniversary is if there was a beer named June 2nd. Then Torby sent me that on June 2nd, 1962, the trial of Bridget Bishop began, starting a reign of terror in Salem, Massachusetts, known as the Salem Witch Trials. So this is all to connect to the likelihood that Agnes is herself a witch. And perhaps she could be somehow, could she be the one of who's doing this to you, Wanda? Like a bad presence within this, or even herself, if we're talking about like id, ego, super ego stuff. Is Agnes an expression of like the darkest parts of Wanda? And rather than it being, I know the leading theory is Agatha Harkness, who's a character from Scarlet Witch, is who Agnes could theoretically be, that maybe like the live action adaptation version of this is like Agnes, Wanda, and Vision are all Wanda.
It's a possibility. I mean, Agnes Harkness existing in this world seems to not fit, just because there is no actual witchcraft and Wanda was thrown her powers through the stones. But that all said, I think there's definitely more to the character than we are aware. I do love the running Ralph bit, because that is also like a sitcom-y thing where someone will mention their husband that you never see to Lucy, to a point. Like, they keep talking about their kid and we barely see the kid once they have it. It's just gone forever.
We're absolutely going to see Ralph. There's no way we don't see Ralph by the end of this thing.
I think we will, right? Like, I think that's going to happen eventually. But it is
Marvel characters named Ralph.
Oh, gosh.
Let's do a quick Google.
I think she killed Ralph.
But you also... just me. I mean, maybe. But I think using the name Agnes is a couple of things. It could be, if it is a representation of that character... it's Josh just found something.
Ralph Bunker, who is who first appeared in Infinity Gauntlet number one and last appeared in Infinity Gauntlet number one, was a man who, alongside Jake Miller and Bambi Long, stole a shop and killed its owner and later went to a bar to drink. When the three leave the bar, Jake drives drunk and the three die when the car falls in a broken road. Adam Warlock then used his powers to send the souls of himself, Pip, and Gamora from the Soul Gem to the bodies and revive, altering their burned appearance to their original bodies.
There we go. That's who Ralph is.
Yeah.
You found it.
Ralph Bunker. We got him.
Yeah. But no, so
Ralph
I think
Roberts
that...
is also the alter ego of Cobalt Man.
I don't
really know who Cobalt Man is.
Yeah. I've heard the name, but it doesn't ring any immediate bells.
It's X-Men bad guy, it appears.
I know what Cobalt is, and I know what a man is.
So. Yeah.
But I think, like, if they're going this route, you know, of someone who raised Wanda, for all we know, it's Wanda's mom, right? We never saw Wanda and Pietro's mother in this series. So maybe that's the approach. So this is presuming Agnes is even the real name. This could also
Didn't
be...
Didn't they die, though? Her parents both died in the bombing?
Yes, so did Vision. So, like, I'm saying, if you're able to, like, right, change reality, right? If that's what her ability is, that person can come back, and that's a representation of that. But I also, to me, I think Agnes is a fake name. I think Agnes is a plant, and if you are, you're not going to use your real name. My possible running theory of Agnes being a misdirect, because if this is a show about magic, misdirection is always a key thing, is that she's quite possibly could be Abigail instead of Agnes, and that is the leader of S.W.O.R.D. in the comics, Abigail Brand. So that's another possibility there that, again, what we're seeing is not fully what we're getting. I don't know if they're going to, like, you know, necessarily make it so obvious who this character is in such a way that people are just going to grab it like that.
That'd be awesome because we would get to see Catherine Hahn rocking green hair, potentially.
Yes.
Because Abigail Brand has green hair.
A happy idea to disagree with Abby. Because the backstory of Agatha Harkness, and please correct me if I am wrong, it's happened many times before, was that she was one of the original witches from the Salem trials, right?
Let me look it up real quick.
I believe that is correct. And then she helped train Wanda to use her powers back when the theory was that Wanda was just doing basically witchcraft and the mutant stuff is... And the expansion of those powers became like way, way later when she was doing quote unquote hex bolts and things like that. Okay. Yes. But
also
much has changed from then.
Also kind of worships Mephisto, right?
Ooh, that I don't remember. But if that's the case, that's a whole other beast of a door that we're about to open then.
Yeah. So of the quote unquote research I've been doing and just like following along with stuff before the show started. The idea of this being Agatha Harkness, the idea of the whole June 2nd that the great Torby pointed out, and the fact of the origin story of Agatha Harkness, and then bringing in Mephisto as like a possible character, all of this could eventually tie into Multiverse of Madness. I don't know that it's correct, but I like the idea of thinking that it could be. Because who knows what they could possibly, like, havoc they could wreak if it's those two.
I mean, bringing Mephisto in is wild. Like, it's the literal devil, like, at that point.
I love it.
That opens so many doors.
If we are not, you know, we're a decade plus into this crazy cinematic universe. If it ain't time to bring in Satan himself, you know?
Satan?
Yeah,
I guess
it's the devil. He's Satan. Yeah.
Well, as we all know, all the devil really cares about, though. Well, you know what? Maybe
he
this
loves
tracks.
Marriages.
He loves marriages.
That
all
dude
the devil
loves
cares
marriages.
About is marriages.
He loves to scoop up a marriage, feed on it like a pomegranate.
So there
just
we
break
go.
Break it open and chew on those seeds.
He wants
out.
The entire plot is that Mephisto wants them to get married. So, which they are now. So now he could break them apart and feed on their marriage as
like
he is wanting to do.
I'm telling you, juicy. Yeah, I think that's coming. I think that's happening.
For all the comic book fans marriage. Who listen to this, probably love that. Everyone else is completely lost.
Yo, show me Satan. I want Satan. Give me the devil. I want that. The Marvel 666. Let's do it.
There's been too much chicanery for us to be like, I want Satan on air. It's a Candyman kind of thing, right? You gotta watch out.
Yeah. In the context of a television show, I want Satan. So I am curious to see what they do with that. I like both of these ideas. I like the idea that it's Agatha Harkness and she's a witch and that's somebody who's deeply hooked into Scarlet Witch lore. That could be fun. But I also like that potentially as a misdirect and that Catherine Hahn is actually Abigail Brand or somebody else who is an Abigail Brand type who is the leader of S.W.O.R.D. She's got huge cool green hair and that would be really cool to get Catherine Hahn with cool huge
huge green hair. And it would also mean that maybe she could be like the Nick Fury of the sword portion of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which would mean much more Catherine Hahn, which would be very, very, very cool. I would love that. But I also think that there is something to this idea too, just to like hang on to mine. If we're all like sort of like, you know, like attaching ourselves to like different Catherine Hahn theories. The one that I'll throw on to right now is this idea that Wanda, Vision, and Agnes, all the same. And they're representing like different morality poles of this equation. So I think we've got a few different possibilities, and it's so early that we've got no true idea. I got a lot of feedback that I think can guide us through a bunch of the rest that we have not talked about. Let's take a quick commercial break. We will be right back, and then we will hop into that feedback. All right. Let's get into the feedback, and let's begin with this from the great Riley the Wordsmith. Riley writes in and says, "My theory within the show is that, oh my God, Wanda is pregnant. This is bad news for the MCU. For some reason, I wasn't expecting Wanda and Vision's kids to be a part of this series. And when she was pregnant at the end of episode 2, I had this pit in my stomach. The way she looks at the beekeeper and then says no and reverses time to protect this new family she's created gives me very bad vibes." Riley says that I'm keeping this vague so as not to tip off too many comic book spoilers. But there's comic book precedent for Wanda and Vision having kids, and it maybe not being A, exactly what they think it is, and B, maybe not being so great for many other people, and Wanda certainly doing dangerous reality bending stuff when threatened, as we are talking about in great detail here on these podcasts. Latanya, what are your thoughts about Wanda's pregnancy, which is revealed towards the end of episode 2, and the fact that she does seemingly like reverse time? And it just occurs to me because of Riley's feedback, like theoretically, like to protect those kids, like to stop the beekeeper from like coming in and changing that.
For the children.
For the kids.
yeah, that almost, the way that everyone was just in unison saying that throughout episode 2 was very culty and very like incantation-esque, because it wasn't until Vision and Wanda mockingly said it that we look up and she's pregnant. I do think that it's probably to both protect, you know, the unexpected now expecting. I also think that it's probably a bit of Wanda, like seeing this beekeeper and it having some kind of actual, meaning to her, unlike it does to us in the audience. And her being like, nope, they're about to come and tear it down. I'm done. No. And then reverses time. It is very interesting that at that point, we get our little Pleasantville moment and everything starts. I mean, we got a little bit of it with the helicopter earlier. But then everything starts to turn technicolor, which right. is cool for many reasons. The first, you know, being, of course, this would have been around the era that especially for the next episode that sitcoms went into Technicolor, and it was a very big sticking point for them to, you know, brand themselves as being in color and in Technicolor and what that means. But also, as we're escaping the world of black and white, or like, you know, gray area, and we're opening everything up to color, what does that mean for not just these Kenda that she's apparently pregnant with, but what does it mean for her own mental, mental security and like what she has built here and how she's trying to protect it? It's just going to be really interesting seeing how she continues to warp reality in order to elude being captured, it seems. Unless, you know, there's a witch that has cast some spells on her. This pregnancy could be a spell.
Yeah. Well, which is actually a good point. The note of the kids before I get into like the witch and what you were saying at the end there is that I was also thinking about that fact, because in the first episode we had the mention of just like, when are you guys gonna have kids? And then this one, for the children, quite often. I mean, the ultimate end game, presuming someone is doing this to Wanda, presuming that it is like an AIM or someone bad, it could be the kids, right? If Pietro is dead, if Wanda's a good guy and you're a bad guy and you want someone who could do what was done previously, the children could be the ultimate end goal. Literally, this all could be done for the children because that's what they want. Ultimately, they want the kids. They want Speed and Wiccan. So that is, I think, a potential possibility that occurred to me when I was watching. In terms of like the color stuff, I definitely want to hit on that because one thing I did want to talk about too is that I mentioned the Dick Van Dyke part of it. This episode, episode two, very much Bewitched, which was like my jam when I was younger. Like I watched a lot of Bewitched. And like from the opening sequence, that was very spot on to you can tell the differences immediately because the difference was in Vision, in the way he behaved. He shifted from Dick Van Dyke to basically paying Darren, the name of the actor is escaping me, Dick York. And there was another one because they had two Darrens. But yeah, his mannerism changed, right? Because he became a lot more like Darren was always very like anxious and kind of like nervous and cowardly. And you saw it immediately. His mannerism shifted the beginning of this episode. He was like a completely different person because he was being someone else in a different sitcom. And I thought that was really cool. The thing about the beds at the beginning, they were sleeping in separate beds. And at first I thought they were doing I Love Lucy because sitcoms of the time, the couples slept in different beds because God forbid you show a married couple sleeping in the same bed.
But Bewitched,
wait, that's not how we are supposed to do it.
It is for you, Josh. You're supposed to sleep like that. So make sure that you keep that.
No, I have been. I haven't.
But like the Bewitched was the first one to actually have them sleep in the same bed. So like the beds coming together, becoming one, was showing a shift in also the decade itself, right? Like we're watching time progress by doing that, and also progressivism almost happening. The fact that she was wearing pants the entire time is another big thing where Elizabeth Montgomery, you know, didn't wear dresses like all the time in that show. And the other really, really big one is the transition at the end, because during its run, Bewitched went from black and white to color. And so like watching it happen literally during the runtime of this show, I think it was another like homage. Yes, I think it was also doing the like showing a movement and showing a change and showing us into the new decade. But specifically, I think because it was Bewitched, they did it with this, which that's I think cool. Is really awesome. That like that's the show is so dense, not just with the comic book stuff, but with the sitcom stuff. And I love that, like especially because, again, like I liked Bewitched. The pregnancy thing is also interesting because Samantha had kids in the Bewitched series, which is something that we're leading to here. She was pregnant during the runtime with magical children. So like all of that, I think, is playing into a lot of stuff. And it actually just occurs to me, like, did they say the word pregnant during the episode? I don't know
Not that I remember.
I don't remember that they did, but they wouldn't in that time period. Exactly. If they were able to say pregnant.
Which is wild. TV. They can't say pregnant. They say like expecting. They say like something
on
like
television.
Yeah. In television in the 50s and 60s, they couldn't say pregnant.
How come?
Because scandalous. Same reason a husband and wife can't sleep in the same bed. Yeah, exactly, Josh.
To their minds in those days, the sex. And we can't have any references. We can't have you sleep in the same bed as your husband or wife, because those are the only partnerships that existed back then, apparently. And you're also not allowed to say words like pregnant or you can't flush a toilet. Like that's All in the Family was a huge deal because you heard the first toilet flush on television. It's not something that people wanted to think about with their TV shows back then.
You know, we haven't flushed a toilet on a podcast yet.
No. Yeah, I'm just Scarlet Witch it. No.
Just all right. Write in. Let us know. Do you want us to flush a toilet on a podcast?
Monster.
At postshowrecaps.com.
Who's doing this to you, Joshua?
If I get 15 unique yeses, we'll do it. I need 15 unique yeses.
This is for sure one of those situations where I revert to like, I've done this in my head, but never actually said it to you. The way on the Friends episodes where Rachel was dating that guy, Joshua, but she didn't say it normally. She said, Joshua.
Like, yeah,
I do. That definitely warrants a Joshua. No. Joshua.
15 unique yeses. Super at postshowrecaps.com. And don't come up with a fake email address. I know that this has happened before, so just keep it.
I guess I should put my fake email address.
Yeah, I am talking directly to LaTanya. 15 unique yeses and 20 unique no's. If we get 20 unique no's, then that will trump the 15 unique yeses. And even if we get beyond 20 yeses, as long as we hit 20 no's, that will be enough to stop the flushing on a podcast. Anyway, humans are terrible. So this is from Chris B. Chris B writes in, wondering, I know we're talking about this as a TV show, both it's WandaVision, it's a streaming service TV show, and there's all the sitcom stuff that's happening within it, but is there another medium in play? And this is from Chris. I got hints of a video game with Vision performing tasks at work and his coworker not being able to explain it, when Mr. Hart is choking and Mrs. Hart is repeating "stop this" over and over like an NPC in a video game waiting for you to complete your task. In episode 2, when Dottie cuts herself, she seems to pause for a second before resetting back to a predetermined script. So Chris says, my theory is, or my guess is, that it's some kind of computer program that Wanda has been placed into. Perhaps some sort of calculation to be completed that only Vision can solve. And since he's dead, Wanda is recreating him in the game. What do we think of WandaVision, the video game?
That's really interesting. I mean, the end credits have a very digital pixelization quality to it. I do think some of the references can go both ways, which I think is clever, because like the not knowing what you do is also just a trope of sitcoms. I mean, the famous Friends one, since you just mentioned it, is Transponster, you know, Chandler's shop, you know. So like, I think that reference is there, but definitely like, I love the idea of like the glitching and of course the resetting to predetermined, lines, because you can, NPCs only have so much. I think it's really, really interesting, which also, if we are talking about Mephisto, I mentioned this, I think when I was talking to Robin, but Robin pointed out that, the actress who played Dottie is from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yes.
And plays a demon. She plays a demon in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Emma Caulfield.
It's Anya. Emma Caulfield. Yes. That is Anya.
Yes.
I couldn't decide if that was Anya or Leslie Bibb, and so I was just going to let time sort it out.
Yeah.
It's really cool that that's Anya.
And for those who don't know, LaTanya and I have been calling Kevin Time. It's a new nickname that we've come up with, Kevin. We're trying to sort it out. What do you think? Do you like Time Mahadeo? I think it's pretty good. Big Time is what we call him.
I'll take it.
Yeah. No need to write in. We know you accept.
Yeah. We don't need any unique yeses or no's. For
no
this
unique
one.
Yeses or no's for Big Time Kevin. Yeah. Big Time Kevin. That's where it's at. Yeah, I think that's interesting. I mean, do you cast Emma? I mean, like if you're just like going deep into like the television pantheon, you bring Emma Caulfield on. Like she's gonna be evocative for certain people for sure. But is there more to it than that? Is she playing? Could she be Mephisto? And also, she seems to like really handle cutting her hand pretty well. I thought that was compelling. I thought that was particularly interesting.
She seems terrifying, but like in all of the worst possible ways.
Yes,
she's one of those like home wifey, like, you know, bullies. I don't like it.
I don't like it at all. Let's talk about the commercials.
Yes. Oh, those are good.
Yes. From Zach. Zach asks, or states rather, the commercials seem to be real parts of Wanda's psyche slipping through, considering the Strucker watch has the Hydra symbol on them, as well as the phrase "Strucker, he'll make time for you." Cause he sure did for Wanda and Pietro. And then Josiah also asks, obviously the commercials, they're more than meets the eye. What are your theories for the commercials? Is there anything about the commercials, like theoretically plot wise, that you want to hone in on that you feel like we haven't really expressed? Kevin is shaking his head and doing a great, like, I don't know kind of face.
Besides the fact that those characters are dead, I got nothing.
Yeah. I mean, it is interesting. Like, I mean, I think if you know, three is a trend, right? Mm-hmm. So if next week we have another commercial and it's about another dead character from the Marvel Cinematic Universe, there's definitely something very chilling happening there. LaTanya, do you have any theories about the commercials that you want to get off?
Well, I want to say the commercials are a very interesting part of the whole sitcom vibe, having those actual commercial interruptions that would have occurred during these programs in the time. and they would have been introducing the like biggest new household appliances for and gearing them toward like housewives, essentially. I noticed a little bit of the Iron Man like repulsion sound in the toaster.
Yeah.
But yeah, other than the actual names that are involved, one is the, you know, a Stark product, the other is Strucker. I don't know, unless it's supposed to be alluding to the ability to make technology catch up so quickly that, you know, someone like Ultron ends up coming back or something like that.
Oh, come on. Give me James Spader on the bingo card. I still want it.
Josh wants it so bad.
I was trying to have my eyes peeled for like, what's like a good, and so like, you've got like the toaster reference and then you've got Baron von Strucker being referenced Age of Ultron. I'm like, oh, I think we're still in the game. I think we're still in the game if we're looking for James Spader to show up. I would be so thrilled. It would be a gas. It'd be a gas.
I don't know how anybody is doing this sober. Is one of the great Catherine Hahn lines in this show.
Yeah, well, it's something I ask myself daily.
Checking out the mailman, like, yeah. You know, just gold.
While you talk about sobriety, LaTanya, Corey B., the great Corey B., who knows a thing or two about robots, writes in and says, what food makes you gum drunk? Or just what makes you gum drunk? And of course, gum drunk being if you're a robot, and you eat gum and it gums up your gears. What food is there something that's like not booze or drugs?
I was gonna say like booze.
Yeah. What is it other than booze and drugs that makes you act the way that Vision was acting? And is there anything to take out of that other than just sort of the comedic aspect? If we're gonna like drill down into like what was that for in terms of like story progression?
Oh, that was just you couldn't show drunk people on TV at the time. So you make up a reason why they're acting the way that they are. Like,
yeah,
Darren wasn't going to stumble into the talent show and ruin it because he's severely intoxicated.
So but why even go there? Like, why even?
That up?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Was it just for laughs? Is it just a gas, or is there something bigger at play with like? Is it like that Vision has the potential to mess this whole thing up? Like if Vision gets too close to the truth, maybe he can unravel this whole thing.
I mean, maybe. I definitely took it as just like they were doing the sitcom thing, right? Like they just were doing the thing where it's just like, oh, a person, you can't actually have them be drunk at the time period, right? Like even, and this goes on for a while. Like if you look at Cheers, I believe for a while on Cheers, you could show them drinking beer all they want. But if you had them drinking hard alcohol, that's when they got like drunk. So like that's just one of those like little, I think, sitcom-y things that exists. And they did it because it's a trope for the talent show, the same way where they did all the stuff where it's just like, oh, it's really like this, it's this thing moving. And then they do the mirrors and the one person naturally says like, is that how mirrors work? Because right. Like, that's what they would do at the time. Like, certainly, I think there's a level of pulling back the curtain, quite literally, on the magic happening that is alluding to like stuff coming. But I think for me, I mean, it could be, but for me, I definitely read it as like, oh yeah, this is classic sitcom.
Yeah, LaTanya, what gets you gum drunk?
Bubble gum, flavored alcohol. I don't know.
that would mess me up.
Yeah, it would be dead.
Am I supposed to swallow this? All of my life instincts tell me no.
Yeah.
But you want to. So it's like giving you what you've always wanted to do. Yeah. You're just like, oh, anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, a good baked macaroni and cheese
for yum. Me. Yeah. Is, yeah.
Yeah. Will get me gum drunk.
Yeah.
I of Vision and gumming up the works, which is a thing that I wrote down and then they said in the show and I was like, okay, settle down. So it's interesting to see the old fashioned artwork in this that's supposed to depict the gum going through Vision because no one really knows what he's made of or like how he came to be.
Right.
There seems like to be some kind of converter in there along with like a nuclear reactor maybe. And some lights and some springs and the cogs that are keeping things going. I am wondering if this is something that will come back later where someone will figure out if it's not gum, it can be literally anything because he can't eat or drink.
Right.
If they can, you know, decapacitate him and just doing something simple that most people wouldn't even notice.
Yeah, that's interesting. It has to serve some sort of function. You know, this isn't just here because it's fun. You know, it's definitely here because it's fun, but there's another because. So we just need to kind of like keep an eye on what that because is. One last one for the crew. Josiah asking, what show / era do we think will be parodied next?
I've been waiting for this.
So it would appear we're going to the 70s if we're following this map, right? 50s for episode 1, 60s episode 2, we would go to the 70s. What are some of the shows from the 70s that you could imagine making it into WandaVision, and then do you have a specific prediction? I'll turn it to both of you because this is much more your turf than mine.
So I would love to go through all the eras because I would love to discuss it. For me, I was trying to think and I kept like throwing out suggestions, and Robin, I think, correctly pointed out that the show is clearly family sitcom focused. So I think we're not going to get like The Office, for example. I think they'll do Modern Family, which follows the same style because like that style of mockumentary is so quintessential to like the 2010s. So I think once we hit that time period, we'll probably do that. But for the 70s, my instinct is Brady Bunch. It just feels like the sitcom of that time period.
Also feels hard to imagine that they won't make you, if we're doing iconic openings. Right? Like, how do they not do the Brady Bunch opening song and like the, you know, the way that that's split. Filmed? Yeah, the split screen.
Yeah. I was also thinking about the Partridge Family in addition to the Brady Bunch. Yeah. But the 70s are unique in sitcoms because that's when we start to get the first all black sitcoms. So, you know, there's probably not going to be a ton of influence, but maybe I will definitely be looking out for any kind of like zany family sitcom, like Good Times or What's Happening, leaking in there, even Sanford and Son. we look at later on, but yeah, I think that likely a combination of, the two that Kevin and I just pointed out, the Partridge Family and the Brady Bunch.
Yeah. Hello world. We already have Partridge Family was already teased in Ant-Man and the Wasp. That's true. The theme song.
Oh.
We have a dream that we're traveling together.
I feel like you just used that as an excuse just to sing.
Get Paul Rudd back. Look, we got Jimmy Woo is in this show, right?
Yeah, so, we need Paul Simon Rudd here.
You know, I think it would make some sense. I do. I really, really do. Anything that we didn't hit on from these first two episodes of WandaVision that either of you want to make sure we touch on? I think as far as like forecasting all of the stuff, like, you know, let's save some, like Augustus Gloop should have done, save some room for later. we can get into that next week because next week it appears we're going into the 70s. I wish that these episodes had real titles. Maybe they will. Maybe they'll like reveal them eventually. But right now it's just episodes 1 and episode 2. That's it. It's what they're called.
Yeah, that's what we got.
I mean,
that's what they would have been called back in the day, right? They didn't have, they I just guess. Went by number and not name. Maybe I'm wrong about this.
Yeah. I think that might be accurate, that they didn't have like subtitles for the names at the time. And maybe as we head into modern territory, right? Like, again, I don't think they're going to do Friends, but if once we get to episode, what would that 1, 2, 3, 4? So you have to go to like 5 or something, it would be like the one with blank, right? So you could end up in a situation like that moving forward in time. But yeah, we'll save the predictions for each episode about what we think the next sitcom would be. But yeah, I also just really want to like you said, to see the continuation for the opening sequences and the title sequences. Extremely fun how they've been playing around with that and like mimicking the styles on that.
Yeah, for sure. All right, WandaVision, episodes 1 and 2 in the books. We're going to be back next week talking episode 3. Rumor has it there also may be some Star Wars shenanigans happening with this very crew in the not-too-distant future. So if you're not subscribed to the Star Wars podcast feed, check that out. Maybe hearing from these lovely folks on a podcast very soon. Looking forward to that. If not, at the very least, why don't you... Why don't you do it? Just, you've been thinking about it. Why don't you do it? Sign up. Patreon.com/postshowrecaps. And the reason to do it, aside from just being awesome, and just being like a super cool person who's doing that, is you can hear a 3-hour podcast in which Kevin LaTanya and myself, alongside Jess Sterling and Mike Bloom and Rich Filiberto, played Dungeons and Dragons. We played Dungeons and Dragons together for 3 hours. And it was crazy. And magic occurred. And sometimes LaTanya was a benevolent elf, and other times he murdered the guy. We don't need him anymore.
Exactly. As any queen should be.
As the elfish queen. Kevin was literally a ninja turtle.
That is correct. So, I was a ninja turtle.
It's a very fun podcast that's available in the podcast feed right now. If you're like, oh man, what am I going to do with all this time that I've got? Well, you can sink 3 hours into a podcast in which the three of us plus some of our other friends are playing Dungeons and Dragons. Stupid fun. Really, really great. A hilarious extravaganza occurred. So check that out. Patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Keep the conversation going with us, whether you're in the Discord or not. You can hit us up on Twitter at Kev Mahadeo, at LK Starks, at Round Howard. We'll be back next week with even more WandaVision shenanigans. Until then, everybody, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Stop right there. You want to know right now. Before you go any further, this is WandaVision.